Right, enough of that. Okay, hello boys and girls, and welcome to the final Naked Football show of the season. In the studio tonight is, of course, our resident encyclopedia, Phil Ham.
Hello.
We welcome back the coiled spring that is Ray Slig playing with his buttons over there. Thank you, Ray. Thanks for turning that off. And, of course, it being the last show, we felt it necessary to give the old git the final airing.
Hello, ladies.
So lots to cram in. Emails, of course, to studio@icrfm.co.uk or drop us a text on 079 738 51968. Raymond, I saw you salivating at the prospect of getting stuck in tonight, so you'd better start, hadn't you?
No, he was just salivating.
Raymond's got a dossier.
Well, I was going to say something else, but salivating is more apt.
Cut to the quick and try and sum up the season, probably about 2 minutes if I can.
Okay, timing.
Three pivotal games, I think.
Pivotal,
Mr. Kitt. Coventry away at Christmas, where we came back to 1-1 at half time, should have gone on to win, and put a lamentable second half display in and summed up the season. Barnsley away, still on the woeful, lamentable theme, another poor performance against a team where something goes on the mind, lost 4-1, really pretty damn poor. Coventry United away, should have gone there, guns blazing, gone for it. What do? We give them their first clean sheet since August. So three games, I think, that sort of sum up the season. Three decisions, I think we'll all agree with these in some way or another. Burnley away, offside goal, 2 points lost. QPR at home, handball over the line, whichever you want, 2 points lost. And the worst and the most crucial one, Cardiff at home, Danny Haynes' shot, 2 points lost there. Any one of those decisions or games, one or going our way, we'd have gone up possibly as champions, but all in the top two. But they didn't. And that sums up the season. Poor performances, poor decisions.
You can add to that the goal that was disallowed at Colchester as well. It's just ridiculous. And of course, the last game of the season we had a goal disallowed, although that wasn't quite as pivotal.
And a handball that was a clear handball I've ever seen.
And crazy penalty at Sheffield United.
Yes.
So I throw that one in.
The cliche is you talk about decisions evening themselves out over the season. And the only one probably people have mentioned is the Kisnorbo sending off for Leicester down here, when chances are we probably would have won that game anyway. But that's really the only piece of good fortune we've had this season, I think, that anyone can... I don't know, but Mr. Gitt's disagreeing with me here in kind of facial expressions, but...
No, that's just how I look.
Oh, sorry, yeah. But, I can't think of any other kind of pieces of enormous luck that we've had.
No. Right, end of...
If anyone else can out there, seriously, we
I think though, trying to hang our hats on bad luck is a bit hard.
I agree.
We're hanging them on bad refereeing, not bad.
Yeah, we have had a fair share.
Bad refereeing. I'm bored with hearing all about all that. What about our failure to sign Sylvain Ebanks Blake? Was that a pivotal something?
Or Halmosi? The other one, who I thought,
frankly, the whole
better player.
Should we have signed the whole of the Plymouth team in January? Is that what you're saying?
Well, certainly, if we're going to go for Norris. Norris and Sylvain Ebanks Blake.
But I don't rate Sylvain Ebanks
Blake. Oh, golly, no, I don't rate him. He scored an enormous quantity of goals for Plymouth, and now he scored an enormous quantity of goals for Wolves. I was going to say that perhaps Norris and Ebanks Blake working in tandem would have been a fantastic team, but clearly Sylvain Ebanks Blake couldn't care less about Norwich because he's been fantastic at Wolves, hasn't he?
He's done
Our failure to sign people early in January was...
Key positions. The striker and the centre-half that
should have got stuck in, get them signed.
I don't think the centre-half is that crucial, because I think we've got this myth, our defensive record at home is very good, away, but a centre-forward, as I've been saying, since the Cows come home, as you all know, since August we needed a good 25-season hit.
I don't think that's quite fair.
Well, I think going back, we needed one last year, and we got Franny Jeffers on loan, and a favourite of yours. I don't think you can make that gesture on radio, even.
Well, he can, but people can't see it.
My legs, but
he came in because we needed that sort of striker then, and we didn't sign him in the summer, specifically. And then the alternative was Pablo, who isn't quite that sort of striker, although he hasn't had an excellent season. I think he needs someone in that mould playing alongside him, or the club needs...
So let's get out there and sign lots and lots of players. I want him to really get stuck in, sign quantity.
What are you thinking?
Not quality.
30?
Yeah. Like, Barry Fry. Get Barry Fry in as a consultant. I certainly do say this. I hope they're starting with a real operations room. Derek, Sir David, Jim, dismal Steve McCall, some scantily clad lovelies with big pointers.
I was getting the war room in Dr. Strangelove until you said that.
but then we went off into a Swedish direction. Yeah. No, I hope that we're going to start with a clean sheet of paper. He's going to scour the whole of the Premiership to see what old lags are dropping down, what young men haven't quite made it. He's going to be looking at the Championship, and then How do you look abroad? You send Steve McCall.
You have agents.
You have agents
that are working for you.
Well, agents work for them. Don't work for you necessarily.
Well, agents can work for you.
I think agents are really important. I don't think scouts. Romeo Zondervan never brought anybody in, did they?
Fabian Vilnis, Martin Reuter.
Did he?
Yeah, Bobby Petter. He brought in Vilnis, actually played with him. But yeah.
You mustn't do that on radio, Mr. Gibb.
A lot of gestures from Mr. Gibb today. But yeah, I mean, he brought in a lot of players like
that. You're quite right, Phil. I quite agree.
Zondervan is, I would imagine, is one of a number of people that they're talking to in Europe. I know that Jim said previously that he was talking to Steen Nedergaard, of all people, because the former Norwich defender in Denmark, because Steve Foley was his coach when he was at Norwich, and he's spoken to him about players in Denmark.
It's hard to collate them, isn't it? How do you measure them? Mr. Stingray's out there somewhere having a look. How does that fit into the actual Ipswich team?
Well, I would hope
really hard to.
Super Jim has already drawn up a short list. I hope he's already got his
preparation. I hope it's a long list.
Well, I hope he's got this list because he must have had a disaster case scenario that we didn't make the playoffs.
Well, you're two lists.
He couldn't make the deal on Monday night. He was away scouting on Monday, which was fine. We accept that. So I hope he's got a list. I hope there are about five or six strikers on top of it first.
Have them all.
Young, Keane, or if you want to go for an English striker, he's got Andy Bishop at Bury, who I saw.
Well, he likes him a lot.
25 goals. He knows where the net is. And David Johnson's an old Bury boy. Let's take another Bury boy.
Well, yeah.
For example.
When they signed John Walters, they'd already put in two bids for Andy Bishop that were turned down by Bury.
Was that when we had no money?
But obviously we were in a situation where Andy had a couple of hundred thousand to spend at that point. So he could be the kind of player that comes in. But I think that we're going to be setting our sights much higher. We're going to be... I mean, I know the link the other day with Mpenza in the Belgian press. Now, whether Mpenza himself is kind of what we need, but it's a player in that mould that's played at the very top level. that perhaps isn't in the side at Premiership.
I'm going to go for a scattergun. I'm going to sign everyone. I want him to sign just sheer.
You're going for the AC Milan approach of signing everyone so that
or the Queen's Park Rangers or the Queen's Park Rangers approach. We've got plenty of money. He's a reclusive billionaire. Sunday Times says he's worth £200 million,
yeah,
which
they,
is not
know,
quite.
It's just guesswork.
You've got calm and enthusiasm, Mr. Gibb.
No, I want some fun. Well, I want us to go out there and sign people.
It's not a funny business. I have to bring you back to reality. It's not a funny
business.
Back to
reality, you're going to have to try harder than that.
We would like to
go for classy. Don't let's spend it wisely. That would be the worst thing.
Well, go out there. I'm going to spend it wisely.
He's going to spend in the areas that we need. He's not going to go for wholesale changes.
Areas that we need.
All right, then, okay,
we need
okay.
to replace Jason DeVos, Stephen Bywater, the strike force. The midfield's gone peculiar.
Well, no, the midfield should.
What, Norris? The great Norris?
Going on to the midfield, let's just move on to the most important point.
Yeah.
We must not in any way or form sell Mr. Garvin. They must hold on to him. I think we must make that clear. If you're listening to him, Mr. Sheepshanks, do not sell him. He is a fantastic player. He's only 20. Another year at this club, he could be in the Premiership next year. But do not sell Owen Garvin. Full stop. End of.
I think it's important that we keep the backbone of the side, and he is kind of the backbone. We've lost DeVos, and we need a goalkeeper. I don't think five.
Has anyone
really
ever said to players, "We're going to enforce your contract"? Couldn't we say to you said Garvin. What about Haynes, Walters and Pablo? Let's just say to four players, you are definitely going to get a shirt next season, and we are going to insist to the point of suing you through the courts that you stick to your contract. We're going to try and wreck other people's contracts by stealing Mpenza and...
Well, Mpenza's out of contract.
Well, anyone.
But I think that there's an interesting point out of that. Amazingly.
That
Garvin, because he has a year left on his contract, even if he says, well, I want to go, I'm not going to sign this new contract, we do have to weigh up, the club does have to weigh up whether it's actually worth keeping him for that year and maybe losing out on a large transfer fee in order that we get him for another year to help us get up into the Premiership and to get the 30-odd million.
We didn't lose all the fee
because there'll be compensation to you on him.
This is going the wise approach. I don't want the wise approach. I want to say to Garvin, you've got to stay. We'll give you millions and millions of pounds. Please stay. Please stay. I beg you, I beg you.
But, yeah, everyone else is going to say that, aren't they?
He's got to want to stay and want to play for this football club. And this football club has never kept unhappy players.
Keep them. Keep them.
No, they're not going to give you what you want. If they're genuinely happy, off you go. We've got to persuade him, put your arm round him, say, look, Owen, you can be with us next year. You've got the fulcrum of our campaign. You're still only 20. Don't do a Richard Wright. Don't go on to the club and do nothing. Make your name at Portman Road and do it with us. You're in the full squad already for the Irish squad.
I think he might listen to that. Haynes won't, the nightclub.
No, why do you say that?
Because he's a nightclub queen. He wants to. He'd go to Middlesbrough as long as he could sit in a banquette at a nightclub and say, I am a Premiership footballer, take me, take me.
I don't know, I don't think that's necessarily true. And anyway, he's contracted for a long time yet, so I don't think that question will come about unless someone offers a ridiculous amount of money for
What would be a ridiculous amount of money? £2 million?
Well, I would say so, but I don't think that anyone from the Premiership will probably offer that sort of money for Danny Haynes anyway. Really.
What about Connor Wickham?
He's only 14.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Saw him last week. He was fantastic.
Yeah. Connor Wickham. It's so hard to remember for old men to remember these names.
Connor Wickham. He's 14, and I saw him play against Manchester United the other week, and he did play well.
Yeah.
He stood out.
He's the rich man's Jordan Rhodes.
I think, actually, out of that team, that game, I thought the most impressive player was Ronan Murray. I thought he was absolutely fantastic.
Who was Ronan Murray?
He was the fellow who scored the goal in the first half where he cut in and shot the number 10 who was replaced at half time, presumably just in case Man United tried to sign him based on his first half performance.
I thought they were very good. I thought the whole team.
For those that weren't actually there, this was the game with Manchester United, the under 16s game at Portman Road a couple of Fridays ago when a number of the younger players stood out.
Pound for pound, I thought they were better than the under 18s.
It's impossible to say, isn't it, really? But there you go. Anyway, anybody sent us anything?
We got one from Pads and Lee, which says pretty much what you've been trying to wrestle with anyway. Who's Jim looking at, and who did he go and see on Monday?
Don't know. If anyone saw Jim on Monday, I mean, I'd heard rumours that Steve McCall was back off to Poland again at some point, and Steve McCall was also notable by his absence on Monday. And I had heard a whisper that Wisla Krakow, a team that they're interested in seeing, that McCall saw last time, and Wisla Krakow did win 5-2, I noticed, and I did have a bit of a look around the Polish press, but I can't read Polish, so I couldn't find anything out. But that wouldn't surprise me if it's Poland, but it could be anywhere in Europe.
Let's go Dutch again. Dutch, I've never let us down before. Let's try and get a nice Dutch striker.
Were there any matches in Holland on Monday? I don't know.
Playoffs. They do have playoffs. They have the most ridiculous and outmoded playoff system. I couldn't even try and explain.
Could you try and explain it then?
No, I don't. I need a lot more drink.
Yeah. So, anyone else? There's an email there from Paul.
Yeah, one for Paul Atkins. There's also one for old Git, but I'll read that out right towards the end because I don't think it's relevant. But it'd be quite funny, I'm sure, if old Git knows what he's talking about, or she, whatever. But I'll come to that at the end.
I know something about everything.
Yes, I know you do. Paul Atkins, be interested to know if any of the panel, with their many contacts and keen eyes, have caught a glimpse of Mark Sevens this year, as it's been reported that he's been attending games during the season. He also thanks us for the programme and asks, will we be back next year? Yes, we will. We can't podcast the Monday show because of the music. Yeah, sorry about that. And he hoped Garvin stays. So, anyone seen Mark Sevens? Mr. Git, you seem to know everyone in the world.
No, I know nothing about
Evans. I had tea with him by now.
I had tea with someone. As you recall.
A mystery man.
Yes, with a mystery man. It might have been him, I don't know. I don't know who it was. That was pretty strange. But that's another story. I think that Evans would be very wise to invest lots more money. I think it's perfectly possible to get a 20% return on his investment once he gets into the Premiership, but he's got to be prepared to actually spend some money. I don't think that he's spent any money. This business about fees for signing and the contracts.
We're in the biggest spending club in January. We're the biggest spending Championship club. Let's not forget that. £3 million is an awful lot of money.
Championship, but not to Mr. Evans.
We're the biggest spending club, and we were seventh in the table on January the 1st, and then we spent £3 million, and now we finished eighth. Now, if I'm Marcus Evans, I might say that's a failure. like a supporter. Yeah, I expected us to push on. And get into the top six at least.
I don't think that was the thinking.
You don't think that was right?
No, but they always talk about it being this season and next season. And if we'd have finished in the top six and got promoted this year, it'd have been a kind of bit of a bonus. But the bringing players in January was aimed at a serious push next season.
Well, actually,
as someone pointed out on the message board today, there's sort of a bit of a fallacy. I think one of the papers ran one that I don't write for. There's a bit of a thing about how we have actually had worse form since we signed players in January than before that. Well, I think if you actually go through the fixtures, our average points per game was actually higher since January than it was
I think the slump started when Marcus Evans very first showed his hand. I think our form since then.
I think this is a sort of false causality, isn't it?
Funnily enough, spending lots of money signing good players does not necessarily guarantee you success.
This is true. Our Derby County in the 1990s.
Well, you don't have to go back that far. You just have to go back to the day when Sheffield United signed an England forward last summer for £6 million.
Yeah, but they must hampered be by the fact that they had Brian Robson as manager.
Well,
but, you know,
what about a Jim out?
Well, here we go. As you just brought that one up, a controversial one from Kev. Instead of talking about players in and out, you should be talking about Jim out and Big Fat Sam in.
Yes, well, I wouldn't watch Kev. Kev is a bitter man.
Do you know Kev?
Yes, I know Kev.
downtrodden
by life.
I think
and
it would be
women.
A sign of very
exactly like me.
Poor football management from the business side if we're able to sack Jim this summer, because all along they've talked about it being a plan for next year being the real
The
David Sheepshanks and Derek Bowden, kind of Marcus's representatives on Earth, as it were.
They're not his representatives. Are the other two people on the board? They're not his representatives.
They are the.
I can't remember their names actually. The two Marcus Evans boys on the board.
Well, it's three actually. But
so they are calling the shots.
They're not. Yes, they're advisors. They're experts on business, on accountancy, on the law. And experts are fools if they then start spouting off about football.
I've met Martin Sterno. I can't remember at the moment.
He was a lovely little chap, wasn't he?
Pardon?
Scorsese?
No.
Well, he's another lovely little chap.
The accountancy expert that's been put on the board.
There's no way he's going to interfere in football because he
doesn't have any interest.
He's thrilled, though, isn't he, to be involved?
When I met him, you were with me, weren't you?
I was standing beside you, holding hands.
Absolutely delighted to be involved in the club. But
good guy.
Clearly, he was only interested in the financial side of it. He certainly wasn't going to put his all
I
in
like
on that.
This. And I like this. I like the fact that Evans is not pretending to be Robert Maxwell or someone. There's no ego involved, and these guys that he's putting in are genuine experts in their little fields.
As far as we're aware at the moment, I mean, that's the only thing you can say. Things can go wrong.
He might pull off his cloak, and it turns out to be me.
Well, he could be the Joker or the Riddler or something. But
Jim looks.
Jim was given a new contract in January, which we're told Marcus Evans had kind of ratified, although it was offered prior to his kind of takeover. So it would be really kind of management, business management of the football club in the style of Thaksin Shinawatra at Manchester City to say Jim out at
that's exactly the sort of owner you don't want, isn't it?
I'd
give Jim a 10-year contract myself.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
To get that issue sorted. I don't want some old Bassett or Colin or Allardyce coming in.
I'll have a caveat. If we're in the top 2-3 October, no problem. If we're down the bottom 6 and struggling in October and we spend the money, I say, sorry, Jim, look, we can't have you hanging around.
There does come a point when you have to say, well, you know, Jim's not going to do it. But we're clearly a long way from that point now. And I think, you know, and even midway through next season, given the kind of up and down nature of this league, you've seen what's happened with Watford in the past and Crystal Palace this year and all these people. It's never kind of out of reach until the last few games. Go on, anything else?
Phil Pritchard. Yes. Was Jim at the Milan derby? That's an interesting one.
Oh, probably not.
No, he was probably in Donegal.
Yeah, you have to work out how many games were on Monday.
I didn't do this, actually. It was a bit sad.
Well, it was Exeter versus Torquay, wasn't it?
Oh, that's true. He could have been at the Great South West Derby. Yeah, perhaps he's scouting Richard Logan. No, I don't know.
And the fact that he wasn't back for the evening do means, you know,
abroad. Could have
been I would guess
abroad,
probably
or Essex or Exeter.
When was the Irish Cup, the Northern Irish Cup final? I think that was Sunday, so he couldn't have gone to that because we had a game. Although a report in the, I think the Belfast Telegraph said that Town were represented and supposedly watching Peter Thompson, who's one of their strikers, a Northern Ireland international. Although Alan Manus, their goalkeeper, has also been mentioned before, so. I think there'll be lots of reports of players being watched. I mean, it's interesting that the Anglian went with Thomas Sorensen, which is, you know, a story we ran in January. That
well,
Town were
interested. There's contractual problems there.
Yeah, it fell through because of a contractual issue. I think basically Villa wouldn't pay off the rest of his contract or something like that.
But that is now out of the way in the summer. So
well, I think he's out of contract. I'm not sure, but
that would be free to come.
If unless of course he gets a better offer, but. You know, goalkeepers, I think, well, we might as well start running through the areas where we need players.
Everywhere.
Goalkeeper one, so you'd be happy with a sort of Sorensen stroke Richard Wright, would you?
Sorensen for me.
But would you like Richard Wright?
I'd have to bite my tongue if it was Richard Wright, big-eared, greedy, disloyal.
You're not a fan.
Fat.
You like him.
I thought he was brilliant when he came down to Richard Naylor's testimonial. I thought, my God, we haven't seen a proper goalkeeper for years.
He played really well. You know, and the Southampton game I saw on Sky the other day, I thought he was
greedy,
fantastic.
Greedy, big-eared,
well. But I think,
disloyal.
Andy Rhodes went and saw West Ham reserves, a friend of mine told me. Wright was down to play in that game, but he actually joined Southampton that day, so in the end he didn't play, but... Andy Rhodes was apparently there, and I can't see any reason Andy Rhodes would go and watch West Ham reserves other than if there was some interest in Richard Wright. This was sort of a couple of months ago, a month or so ago. Alan Manus is another one that's been mentioned. He's Northern Irish international. He's supposed to be sort of ready to move into English football.
I think we were getting too sort of focused on these individual players. I think we missed out in January because Jim was so obsessed in an almost sexual way. I think we should say, who is available? I want to get back to the big room. All the players. Let's ask everyone to come.
And he had bad luck. He couldn't get Darren Bent. He couldn't get, and he said, Dennis Healy, David Healy. Because
Nugent.
Nugent wanted to go to I was told by my Preston friend last week the reason Nugent didn't come because he wanted to go to Preston. It was all lined up for Preston.
Andy Gray,
that's
another one.
So there are reasons why these players didn't come, but unfortunately the window had passed, Jim had missed out, and his desk was scrabbling around to get a strike, it didn't work, and we had to soldier on. And that's where
we've got to be more nimble. We were nimble with Velici Shumilakovsky, weren't we?
That was
an out of left field madness, and we've got to be sort of standing at the stage door so that if Alan Shearer comes out and says, who wants me? Or fill in slightly different name to Alan Shearer.
No, I play, yeah.
I mean, if Michael Owen says, I'm anybody's.
An ideal example, in a way, of where an agent presumably has brought a player along and given him a trial. I mean,
yes, and let's have a good word for agents, because you can't do it, well, repeating myself, I don't think the scouting system
system isn't there. What we need is, clearly Jim has got good contacts with players he's formerly played at, and Charlie Woods has got contacts throughout the game.
The eminence grease is still out there.
Well, Bobby Robson is obviously another kind of figure who's still kind of within the club in some capacity, and he's got contacts all over the world. So we must be able to kind of attract that kind of player, given the wages that we're able to offer now.
Well, yes,
certainly
that must...
looking a lot ahead of the type of players we were targeting a year ago.
I certainly hope so, and I certainly hope that we are proactive, actually out there. But for example, that they're not just going on holiday.
Because also, if you get some decent players in, you'll sell some more season tickets.
Yes, let's have a sexy start. That's what I'm saying. Don't spend it wisely. No more Norris.
I think dissing Norris.
I don't think we've seen enough of Norris, especially in midfield.
Exactly, we've not seen enough of him at all, really.
But the Norris mould, the small, insignificant, skillless little trundler.
Terrier is the word you're looking for, isn't it?
Well, terrier, is he a terrier or is he a little badger?
They're culling, there must be a badger.
I don't want badgers, I want lions!
Right.
Wild, untamed beasts.
Indomitable lions. You want
Yeah, yes.
Cameroon players.
Cameroon players, yeah.
Ill-hajj Jouf. Animals.
Well, he's and maybe Senegalese players as well.
He's available. He's available.
Is he? I certainly don't want El Hadj Diouf. I want someone like El from this El Hadj Diouf end of the spectrum, not the little Norrit end of the spectrum.
Right, okay. any more texts?
No, the only one we have, we might as well, as we've only got a minute to go. This is from Mel. Can you ask old Git if you could return his tooth or his tooth?
Oh.
I'm not going to comment on that.
Are you just punching women or something?
Well, it is a lady who lost a tooth, but I'm not going to go into any of that detail on the air or in private, indeed.
Well, let's have some more names out of strikers. I've done Andy Bishop, we've done...
David Healy.
I think we've got to go higher than Healy now.
Well, what about Nugent?
We won't get Nugent, and Jim won't go
our son off. No.
But McLean at Peterborough?
Well, he's good, but the player I'd have from Peterborough is George Boyd. I think George Boyd's fantastic.
From Peterborough? Oh,
left,
goodness.
Left midfield player, I think he's really good.
Just remember, we had from Lowe before, David Johnson from Bury.
Yeah. I think
David Lowe from Wigan. We have Ball from Lowe down, and they'd be very good.
You have to buy players from that level. I mean, that's how it goes. You know, there's no point in waiting on it. I know you just want to kind of go out and spend £8 million on whoever. But I don't think there's any realistic way that Jim will do that or Marcus Evans would let him do that. We need to go out and be kind of... I know you're going to say...
Ordinary and boring and sensible. Spend it wisely.
Now, a couple of good, attractive strikers will get the pulse running.
Torres is quite pretty. Are you thinking of Torres?
Now you can get a couple of strikers. I'm sure they're about. We don't do the job.
I think Bishop's not a bad shout. It wouldn't surprise me if they brought a big man in like him, and a smaller sniffer, Franny Jeffers type.
Is this on the basis that Mr. Lee will be with us next year?
I think Lee will be gone. I think this will be.
Well,
the...
I mentioned that just.
Let's just say Shifty Kudji, R.I.P. Good old boy.
I don't think he'll stay.
That's correct.
Yeah. I think Lee will probably go. I think it'll be Walters and a Andy Bishop.
Oh, Walters will go. He's had 9 clubs already. Walters will be going. Oh no, he's gone.
The Crown Jewels.
He's gone. Long gone.
No, he'll stay. Pablo, and then...
Pablo may go.
Your Billy Clarks and your Jordan Rhodes is coming through. And
Billy Clarks not.
And then a sniffer type striker in the David Healy type, Franny Jeffers type mould. Two centre-halves, which one will be...
McCauley.
One may be Pankhurst, who plays for the New England Revolution, because I know he's a player that Paul Mariner rates really, really, really
highly.
How old is he? I can't remember. I should have looked him up again before I came. I think he's only about 24, 25, but he's really, really highly rated in the States. When I interviewed Paul Mariner for the fanzine, he was sort of talking him up, and that clearly must be the player that... That he's going to ask Brian Klug about, and I seem to recall that he'd got some European ancestry, sort of reasonably recently, so we probably wouldn't have a problem.
What, the 19th century?
Work permit. I'm going to ignore you now.
but make sure that you buy twice as many players as this, because half the signings work and half the signings don't.
And on that note,
coming back was good.
I don't know.
And on that note, I've got to shut you all out because you're at least a minute over into the next show.
Yes, we can.
Can you just say goodbye, everyone, first?
Goodbye, everyone. Yeah. Goodbye, everyone. Yeah.
Goodbye to everyone. Myself and Phil will be back on Monday breakfast between 7 and 10. Phil will no doubt put details on those for the days. This time next week and throughout the summer, Phil Pritchard alongside The Vulture will be presenting the Naked Sports Show. So do get involved in that in the same way you got involved with this. So until Monday, or until next season, have a great summer, everyone. Thanks ever so much for all your emails, all your comments.
And thanks to all the guests.
And thanks, of course, to all the guests.
God bless you all.
And
all who sail in you.
Yeah, all who sail in you. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.